Do you view the world as illuminated by Christ or gaslit by the world? We'll talk about that next on Principles and Policies. Hello, this is Chuck Michaelis. I'm your host here on Principles and Policies. And my apologies for not doing a live recorded show for the last couple weeks. Family things and business things and everything like that has come down upon me and has kept me from the recording studio. But I am recording a show for today, and today is June 22nd, 2024. I'm recording it on June 21st, 2024. The question I asked at the beginning, do you view the world by the light of Christ or by the gaslight of the world? And, you know, I did three weeks ago, I did a show on gaslight and gaslighting, what it means to be gaslighted, what it looks like, how to try to avoid it. And we're going to go through some news items today. And actually, we're going to talk about some things that are going on in religion. Today, because it's gaslighting is not restricted to just the things of the world. It rears its ugly head when we attempt to mix the world or view the faith through the lens or the gaslighting of the world. We have things going on at all kinds of religious gatherings. We have we recently had the Southern Baptist Convention annual meeting, which did not work out well for the Southern Baptists. I'll be quite honest. The liberals are very quickly taking over the Southern Baptist Convention, and there are reasons for that. PCA, the Presbyterian Church in America, just had their General Assembly. My own denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, has General Assembly next week for the next Wednesday to Wednesday next week. So a lot of places are having meetings. There is a lot of stuff, if you will. Don't like that phrase, but there are a lot of things going on in the Catholic Church. We're just going to look at now, aside from the faith angle, there are things going on in the world with political situations, with war situations, with name something in education, in banking, all kinds of things are going on. And we one of the reasons I'm running the show after running that gaslighting show is I want to pull some things out and talk about how we can begin to really recognize this gaslighting, how to make us believe something that isn't true. We all know that that's the purpose of propaganda. Everybody knows about propaganda. They may not be fully discerning and recognize it. You know, I used to teach a class at Camp American. Barry and I used to talk about Camp American a lot, because we were both very involved in Camp America, and it is no longer. And we used to talk about the same thing under the Institute for Principled Policy, which there isn't any such thing anymore. There is no Institute for Principled Policy. There's just me running a little website and doing a podcast. By the way, that website is www.principledpolicy.com. That's principledpolicy.com. And in case you wonder what credentials I may have to talk about my particular denomination or the church in general. I'm an elder at Providence Presbyterian Church on Summit Road in Pataskala. And by the way, I would invite you to join us for a service. Please come out and visit Providence Presbyterian Church in Pataskala, Ohio on 7095 Summit Road. We're just south of Broad Street by about a quarter of a mile, left-hand side of the road. Come in and visit us. And if you want to check us out without, maybe check us out beforehand, we have generally archived three sermons from our YouTube podcast. And it's not just sermons, it's our whole service. When we serve communion, when we, when we do special things, it's all there online. And you can go to providenceopc.us. That's providenceopc.us, and check us out. See what we're about. We would love to have you. And if you are interested in the Reformed faith at all, we would love to, have you come and visit and see if we're the kind of church family you'd like to become a member of. We'd love to have you. Currently, I am helping our pastor teach a Sunday school class besides my, as part of my elder duties. I also run the recording, the YouTube videos. By the way, you'll find out that we're broadcast live on YouTube on Sunday morning. So if you want to join us for our Sunday morning service, if you go to providenceopc.us, there is a live link. And we would invite you to have a look. But please come out and visit us. We'd love to talk to you. Okay. That being said, that's what gives me some qualification. I am an ordained elder, have been for several years. We were trying to figure out exactly how many years, and nobody seems to know. I'm sure if we went back and looked at our minutes from our session meetings, we could tell. And I've done very pleasant things as an elder, and I've done unpleasant things as an elder, which gives me a qualification to understand what's happening in churches and that kind of thing. But what gives me political qualification to do that? Well, to be sure, I am a citizen who votes in every election they run. Every once in a while, there's one where there's absolutely nothing on there. We'll have a primary on an off year and there's nothing there. And so I don't get to vote in those. Why? There's no issues. There's no candidates, none of that. So, we just, in our precinct, they just don't run one because there's nothing to vote for or against. But I have been a regular voter and very politically active since before I was eligible to vote. So in my teens, and I remain that way since I'm now well past my teens, well past. That gives me and you, because many of you out there are in the same boat. You've been voting, you've been paying attention, even if you haven't, even if you've only taken up political activity of any kind. I can tell you right now that as someone who understands the voting process and the whole campaign process and the whole propaganda process, we need you Christian folks out there to vote. And we need you to vote at every election, especially in primaries. One of the things people will always complain, there's no one to vote for. And this is at the November election, at the general. And I said, did you vote in the primary? Well, no. Well, why didn't you vote in the primary? None of that really matters. Of course it matters, because candidates get picked to fill the slots for the November election in the primary. It's it's one of the most important things you can do. And you may not know this. School districts and municipalities who are trying to get a tax passed love people that don't vote in primaries or special elections. Why? I can remember when I was lived in Westerville. This is just a small example. When I lived in Westerville, the city, the geniuses at the city council wanted a tax to build a park district. They wanted an additional income tax of 0.25%. Well, I was adamantly opposed to this. They knew there were a lot of hardcores like me who were adamantly opposed and were going to make noise. So they decided in their infinite wisdom, and if you want to pass a tax, this is really kind of smart, you run the election in a special. The state law allows that. They're trying to fix this, but I don't think they fixed it yet. The state law allows municipalities to run a special. That's in August. Well, who is doing anything in August? In the first Tuesday after the first Sunday in August? Everybody's on vacation or just getting back from vacation. Nobody's going to run out and vote. And that's exactly how Westerville got an extra 25 cents on the dollar, or 25 cents, 2.5 cents on the dollar, added to our income taxes in Westerville. And what did they do with the money? They went out and they built this wonderful facility. This it had a exercise room, and you know, it has a gym and all this other stuff. And guess what? Though we paid for it, you can't use the building unless you have a membership to the building. In other words, you have to pay a fee to use the building that was built with taxpayer money. Do I feel gaslit? No, because I was aware that this was going to happen. But what did it do? They also ran private businesses. There was a place called the Westerville Athletic Club. And the Westerville Athletic Club was run out of business by the, always called it the White Elephant on Cleveland Avenue, the Money Pit there on Cleveland Avenue. Now, you may say I'm gaslighting a little bit. Is it a nice facility? Yeah, it is. But again, they ran a private business who did the same kind of thing. Westerville Athletic Club, they ran them out of business by having this subsidized gym and activity center that taxpayers couldn't use, except for a few things. There were a few things you could do, but you couldn't use the gym facilities. You couldn't use other facilities without being a member of the club. And I'm like, well, why did we remove? I've asked people this over and over. Well, you don't understand. And I said, no, you're right. I don't. When people say you don't understand, but they have no ready explanation of what the reason is that those kind of things go on, it means they've been gaslit. Or pardon me, I'll go back to the first show that was on June 1st. Not gaslit, gaslighted. Gaslit lit means something else. It means you've got like a Coleman, you've got a Coleman lantern with the old style with the mantles in them. Then you pumped it up and gas would, and you could light those mantles and the gas would burn off. And that's gaslit. Gaslighted means you are being convinced of something that in your rational mind you know is false, but someone is saying, no, it comes from a movie. I'll go back over this. Comes from a movie called Gaslight, where Charles Boyer and Ingrid Bergman and Joseph Cotten. And for some reason, Charles Boyer, I forget why, it's been a while since I've seen it, but it's great. It's actually a very great psychological thriller. Yeah, Gaslight, great movie, 1944. Again, Charles Boyer, Ingrid Bergman, Joseph Cotten. It's a psychological thriller, and the husband's trying to drive the wife nuts, and he keeps doing things. He keeps moving things and claiming she moved them. He steals things. He takes things, makes things disappear, and then makes them appear in her possession, and she doesn't have any recollection of having moved anything, those kinds of things. And little by little by little, he's trying to drive her insane, and actually comes unhinged himself near the end. And that's an important piece of this puzzle, because the people who are doing gaslighting, who are consistently lying, knowing full well that they're trying to manipulate us into believing something that they themselves know is not true. What does it do? What kind of psychological damage does that create? Well, it creates a lot. It creates a lot of psychological damage in those who are people. You can see it sometimes when a journalist who's been lying and lying and lying and lying and espousing a specific worldview and systematically only giving you the part of the story that supports their worldview and simply ignoring or excising the parts that support the fact that they are lying, sometimes they will come to their senses and say, what have I done? And you can see that in some of them. During the Trump era, some of them have come out and said, oh my gosh. One in person in particular that this is more on the legal end, Alan Dershowitz, who is an unreconstructed liberal, very, very liberal, was not a Trump supporter, but he certainly was a defender. He understood during this whole thing, the whole attempt to pin him with Trump-Russia collusion. You remember, we got gaslit, and in some cases continue to be gaslit. There I go again, gaslighted. We got gaslighted on this Trump-Russia collusion. Hillary Clinton still is harping on and on about that, even after she's lost the support on that front from a major part of the news media. CNN has essentially admitted that, yeah, we overplayed that card. It wasn't a card to play. It was a truth or a non-truth. And that's part of the problem. That's why CNN is still a failed cable news network. They used to be a go-to place for people who wanted to get news headlines during the day. Have they always been gaslighters? Oh, yeah. But not as bad as they became from the era from 2015 until the current. So for the last, 9 years, they have been up to their necks in gaslighting. Especially about Donald Trump. They have a hatred for Donald Trump. And not just a disrespect, but a hatred. They would do anything to keep Donald Trump from having any public presence at all. You can see this in places. You can see the gaslighting going on in television shows like The View, which will... it has these female hosts who are terribly uninformed. Terribly uninformed. I can still remember Joy Behar going on and on and on about she wanted to see AR-15s banned. And they're no good for hunting. Well, there are a number of issues with that. One of the things is that the Second Amendment has nothing to do with hunting. It has to do with being a member of the militia, being a bulwark for the protection of the states and individuals against an encroaching federal government. That's exactly why we have the Second Amendment. Had there been nothing like standing militias and that kind of thing, there would be no independence from Great Britain. Behar and company don't really grasp that. Now, I watched this woman go on and on and on about how you can't use an AR-15 for hunting because if you hit a deer, the deer simply disintegrates. Well, I know people that use AR-15s for hunting. And honestly, if you ask them, they will tell you this is load, this particular bullet and cartridge is probably too light for hunting. This is by people who know what they're talking about. I said deer hunting very often needs a larger caliper with a larger cartridge. Larger bullet with a larger cartridge. Why? That you want to put the animal down and kill it as quickly as possible. Well, the AR-15, as in the sporting class of it, the one you can generally buy, is in it's a 223. In the NATO terminology, would be 5.56. 5.56 millimeters and 0.223, which is 223 caliber. That means the bullet has a diameter of 0.223 inches. Not much larger than a 22 long rifle. Now, of course, I will not make the claim that a 22 long rifle and a 223 bullet are the same power. They're not, obviously. The 223 is a necked cartridge. That being as it may, no, nothing disintegrates. In fact, the 223 bullet was designed for combat originally, and the purpose of it was to clip a bone during earlier periods of war, for instance, Civil War, Crimean War. Very large, low-velocity calibers were used. In the Civil War, I think 52 caliber was the general, the mini ball in Springfield rifles. It was a very low velocity, very large bullet. If you've ever seen one, it's kind of frightening looking to what would happen if you got hit by one of these. Well, what would happen was if you got hit in a bone, it would, smash the bone and carry part of it away. So that at no once, for instance, if you were hitting the arm or in the leg, that part of the bone is gone. It can't be repaired. So that's why there were so many amputations. In believe it or not, the Russo-Japanese War in 1904-1905, there was the Japanese used an Arisaka rifle, which was, I think, 5.56. And the Russians used a 30 caliber, a 7.62. Again, these things are interchangeable. The bullets themselves, military loads and civilian loads can be different. But nonetheless, the two different calibers. When that was analyzed, it was discovered that the 5.56 or 223 bullet had knocked people out of the war more often. But the 30 caliber did more instant kills. So very often people hit with the 223 or 5.56 would recover, but it took months and didn't have to have amputations and those kinds of things. Their wounds would be recoverable. In the 30 caliber or 7.62, there were more instant kills, but people also recovered from those, and they didn't lose limbs as often and that kind of thing. So the idea that someone who knows nothing about guns is propagandizing against a weapon because deer become useless when they're hit with a 5.56 slug, 223, because the deer explodes. It's an absurdity. Sometimes deer hit with a 223 will run and some up to a mile before they drop dead, depending on where you hit them. Sometimes they drop instantly if you're a good shot. You get them right in the heart and the lungs. If If you've grievously wounded them, sometimes they'll run for a mile. And you have to go all over the place to try to find it because you don't want your kill to be out suffering. That's the whole point. People don't know what they're talking about. They buy into goofy scenarios. Now, I'm sure that she did not pick that up by herself. Joy Behar did not make that up out of whole cloth. She picked it up out of propagandists, anti-gun propagandists, who make up these things and gaslight. We see this all over the place. We continue to see. If you get in the comment sections of some particular things, very often if you pay any attention, maybe some of you don't. A lot of Christians don't hang around in the comment sections, and they don't watch certain things on YouTube or Twitter. X. Or Rumble or any other place where you can watch videos or read stories and comment on them. I read a lot of places. I go to a lot of places that elicit a lot of opinions, and I read the comment sections. Why? Because sometimes you'll find people who are so badly gaslighted that they will really make commentary that just doesn't make sense. And I will often jump in on those and say, okay, please explain your position. It's silly. I've been involved recently in the comments section on a very interesting, a TV show I used to love to watch, years ago when it was on, House MD, if you remember that. Some of you, he was a curmudgeon doctor who was a genius at being able to diagnose things that no one else could come to the bottom of, and blah blah blah. Okay, well, there was a part of a series where a director of a pharmaceutical company came in, gave a huge donation to the Princeton Plainsboro Hospital, by the way, which doesn't exist. No such hospital. It was fictional. But as most of them are, and like people that watch General Hospital and think it's a documentary. Okay, folks. It's not. But this director of this drug company was promoting a new drug, and he had lots of money, and he wanted to give Princeton Plainsboro a big bundle of cash. Well, what did he want in return? He wanted to start taking control. He wanted to have, without actually having it, he wanted to have oversight over the things that this hospital would do. The actor was a guy named Chi McBride. You probably have seen him. He's a great actor, by the way. He plays a great villain. And he was a villain in this piece, even though he was giving charitable donations to the hospital. It was in return for some power. He came in and tried to dictate how treatments were done, and he interfered with House because House used highly unorthodox means very often to get the work done that he would do, making him sort of an anti-hero and that kind of thing. Well, so Chi McBride decided he was going to rein House in, and he would come in and say, well, I'll take my money bags and go home. So, in the comments section, I begin to see people who are treating this as if it's true, as if it's something that actually happens. Now, I think we all know that some of this does go on. All we had to do was pay attention during the pandemic, during the COVID pandemic, to see this exact thing. And I'll probably go to something else further on, but people were treating this as if this was exactly the way it was done, that this was sort of taken from a news report rather than, you know, than being what it was, which was made up fiction. And these guys are going on and on and on. Finally, I go, folks, it's a TV show. That's all I said. It's a TV show. You don't think this is exactly the way this goes on? You don't think that this is, you know, this is... I said, no, I don't think this is exactly how it goes on. I think some of this goes on far more subtly than you think it does. And I think a lot of times those people with money bags who try to do that will come in and try to dictate how doctors do things. And very often doctors will rebel and say, well, we're not going to do that. You need to provide... I'm not here to be... a guinea pig or have my patients be a guinea pig. We're not going to try your magic medicine unless you can show me that the stuff works. There are doctors that are heroic and do that. So this thread went on and on and on and on. Well, basically the further you go, the weirder the responses get. Why? Because those people are gaslighted in a different direction. What do I mean by that? The producers of the TV shows took a caricature of something that may go on and they brought it to the forefront. Why? Because they have a specific political agenda. At the time we were going through the whole transition over to the Obamacare plans that have since kind of, well, they have essentially gotten us well on the way to destroying healthcare in the country. People thought this was going to help us save money, and in fact, it's costing us far more money than to get treatment. The only people that are doing okay and are people who have money to pay for treatment. I can tell you that I was buying, because I was self-employed, I had to buy insurance. My own insurance. And even people say, why don't you let your company buy your insurance? I go, the company can't afford that. We're seeing gaslighting now on the same thing. I'll come back to this, but we're seeing gaslighting now talking about fast food prices. Why are fast food prices so high? And the gaslight is that it's corporate greed. It's corporate greed. They just want to, they have to continue to increase profits even when blah, blah, blah. Well, they do have to do that. And it's part of the problem with publicly traded entities. In order to keep the stock price high, you have to continue to make money. Okay, but go back to it. Why are fast food prices rising so fast? What are they selling? They're selling food. Have you been to the grocery store lately? What about the cost of groceries? Why are they so high? Because the cost of food has increased astronomically. You don't think that that would affect a fast food restaurant? Now, the fact in California that suddenly, I think the minimum wage was raised to either $15 or $20 an hour. You think paying a burger flipper $20 an hour is going to give you a better burger? Or it's not going to cost more money? Of course it is. Of course it's going to cost more money. Why? Because business owners pass the increase in cost, which is their labor cost, which is, by the way, the most expensive part of the business, I can tell you as a business owner. It's the most expensive part of the business. They pass that cost along to who? The consumer. Now, they're stuck between a rock and a hard place because they don't have the ability. They don't have any access to media. They can't do their own gaslighting, and they can't do their own explanations. They're not even allowed to explain. All we're told is it's greedy restaurant owners. I've seen people who are like getting down on franchise owners because they've raised these prices, and they have no choice. They have no choice because very often they have to buy their goods and services from the corporate entity. And it, this is the price they charge. And then you tack on a $15 an hour employee who may not be particularly efficient at their job onto that. And suddenly you got $18 Big Macs. Big Mac fries and a drink for 18 bucks. Folks, I can tell you, I'm old enough to remember McDonald's advertisement that, now this has been a while, and it will actually reiterate one of my points. Change back from your dollar. You got a single, a small fry, and a small Coke for 85 cents. Well, those days are done. Why are they done? A, obviously the costs have gone up. But why? Why is gasoline up? Why is bread up? Why are all groceries up? Why are all those things up in cost? It's called inflation. What causes inflation? Well, unlike the gaslighting that's being done at the government level, in the Biden administration, who says, well, just take a look. I have to laugh at Sherrod Brown, his big crusade against shrinkflation. You know, you buy a bag of chips and there are less chips in it than there used to be. Okay. You know why? We're gaslighted into thinking it's because it's corporate greed. Well, there's certainly corporate desire to keep their economic heads above water, and that's for sure. Could they take a smaller profit? Yeah, they probably could. But that's not what's causing it. Shrinkflation, when you get a bag of chips that used to have this many chips in it and has fewer chips, is because they're trying to keep the cost increase down. That's why there's shrinkflation. So shrinkflation is a will of the wisp. It doesn't really exist. It's not the fault of the manufacturer. It's the fault of the government who has devalued the currency. But knowing full well that they face the electoral hammer, especially this year in November. Remember, every other year we're electing senators and congressmen. So it happens every couple of years, this big electoral hammer, and they've got to displace blame for inflation, which is totally on them. And it's also on us because we don't throw them out of office. But this whole idea that somehow it's all corporate greed that's driving these costs, it's not. It's the government devaluing the currency and causing us to have to pay more for goods and services. All across the board. What hasn't gone up? Government is complicit in all kinds. I live in an area where we're very close to the Intel plant that's going in. We're about 12 miles from the new Intel plant in the Johnstown, Jersey Township area. What has that done to our property values? It's driven them through the roof. Are we protected? No, we're not. Because all of a sudden, my property taxes... Yes, do I have more equity in my home now? Yes, my house is worth about double what I paid for it in 2016 because of this. But what does that do? It drives your property taxes through the roof. And that's what's happening. We're up about a third on our property taxes. And I'm getting ready to retire, and that's not attractive. And that's how people get shoved out of their house. That's how older people get shoved out of their property. We're gaslit on, wow, we need this revenue. It's interesting to see that we were being gaslighted by our local school district here. They wanted a new bond issue. Folks, when you see a bond issue, yes, it's a bond issue is not a tax issue. It's so they can issue bonds to do more building, that they're borrowing money to do more building to add on because they're anticipating more people in the district. Okay, I get that. But a bond issue always means down the road, more taxes. Always. Why? You got to pay off your loan. That's how we're being gaslighted. Well, this will not increase your taxes. That was the big advert. This will not increase your taxes. Everybody knows that's a lie. They haven't been able to successfully gaslight us into believing that this will not increase our taxes, because everybody knows it will. Now, the fact is that because they got more tax, that all the homes around here are getting the same kinds of bills, 30 to 40% tax increases. Okay? They're gaslighting us in, well, we need that money for this or this. Look, that money will go, sadly, to report, it will go to teacher salaries who are, and don't be gaslighted about that either. Most teachers are doing very, very, very well, especially when you consider that if they remain in a job at a school district for 25 years, they will retire at 100% of their highest salary. Can you do that? I can't do that. I couldn't rig it up for myself. Who makes sure that gets done? Well, the taxpayer. Now, the state retirement system. And I had a teacher challenge me on that, and I go, you need to go out to your own website and do the math, because I've done it. And you can do it too. I don't have the URL right in front of me, but you can go out and you can see that teachers will retire at 100. If they stay in the same job, for, I think, 25 years, they retire at their final salary, which is generally their highest salary. That's a gaslight, folks. You think that teachers are poor. Teachers are not poor. They've got great health care. They've got great, benefits. And they've got great retirement that you don't have access to. So don't get suckered by that. Do they do a great job? Some of them do an excellent job and are worth every penny. Others of them are not. And that's a gaslight as well. Okay. I was going to come back to this, to the medical thing. Okay. Why are medical costs up? Well, look, doctors are, A, protecting themselves by requiring you to go through a bunch of tests that you don't necessarily need. Why? To protect themselves. Why? Because a combination of the insurance companies and the legal system very often are putting tremendous pressure on doctors. Do doctors gaslight us? Yes, they do. And all we had to do was live through the pandemic. Again, I can remember being told by my doctor, well, are you going to take the shot? And I'm like, no, I'm not taking the shot. Well, don't you know that according to the CDC, you are endangering others? And I go, I'm endangering no one. I resent the fact that I have to wear this mask that does nothing. And in private, doctors would admit that, yeah, those masks really don't do anything. And that became obvious into the pandemic when the places that didn't require masking had actually lower infection and death rates than the places that actually required masking. Why? Well, there were a number of health reasons, and we won't go into that. But we were being gaslighted into thinking that, if you recall, near the end of the mess, Dr. Fauci was telling, oh, you need to double and triple mask. And I think he showed up at a hearing with a double mask on. And there were people that were in Congress who had double masks on, and some of them were like, no. The only reason I'm wearing one is because it's a requirement. Why? They did not allow themselves to be gaslighted. Because it was becoming obvious that the propaganda being pushed, if you recall, we were 25% of us were going to die from COVID. If we caught it, we were going to die. And 25% of us were going to die. Then suddenly, as we're watching the numbers develop, it becomes more like 1%. And in some cases, less than 1%. And then we were gaslighted into being told, we were being told by a gaslighting process that the virus was going to mutate and become more potent and more deadly. Ladies and gentlemen, these so-called experts know better than this. They know better than this. They know that as viruses mutate, they become weaker and less virulent. This is a fact, and they knew this, and yet continue to gaslight us. What? To get us into a fear and panic. Why? Because it got them power. They could dictate what behavior. Essentially, they hoodwinked, they gaslighted people like governors into closing schools, into closing, attempting to close churches, into attempting to close businesses. This is why people started working from home in large numbers, was because the CDC and Fauci's group, U.S., oh gosh, I can't remember, Allergy and Infectious Disease, USAID department. That was Fauci's department. And Fauci was infamous for this. Fauci was instrumental. He got his job by in the 80s by printing a paper, getting a paper published that was one of the biggest gaslights in history, AIDS was about to jump the barrier between homosexual sexual contact and heterosexual sexual contact. Now, did some of that happen? Sure they did. Why? Because there were people who were having sexual contact homosexually and then heterosexually. So men who had boyfriends were also bringing the AIDS home to their wife. So, again, I can remember a gaslight in which I was, someone tried to gaslight me in the 90s, over AIDS. And I had seen the same article and I had to explain, this person came to me and said, you know, women are the fastest growing segment getting AIDS. And soon it will be mostly women who have AIDS. And I go, whoa, you have made a leap across the logical chasm. Here are the facts. Women, possibly very, you know, according to the CDC, may be the fastest growing segment. But let me give you a scenario. It's done in percentages. And I said, let me give you a for instance. I said, if 1 year one woman got AIDS from heterosexual contact, fine. And the next year, 10 women got AIDS from heterosexual contact. Well, what does that mean? What kind of... That's a 900% increase in the number of women. Is it statistically significant? Probably not. To jump from 1 to 10 in a scenario where there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of cases of AIDS... Now, I'm not saying that one woman got it and then 10 women got it the next year. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying in the overall picture, it may be statistically insignificant. They were the fastest growing group, but that doesn't mean that all the women will suddenly be the leading number of cases. And it, sure enough, I was right. I said, these kind of statistical fallacies that get used to gin up fear and to gin up a social response and a governmental response, those things there is an agenda behind them, and it is a perfect example of gaslighting. Perfect example of gaslighting. That's what we saw with this pandemic, and we see it kind of cranking up again. We see it, and it's especially interesting. It's another presidential election year. with a hot contest. Okay? Now all of a sudden, it's bird flu. We're all going to die from the bird flu. Or, well, take it back. I saw an article from the CDC. It says 25% who get the bird flu will die. How many cases of bird flu have there been? Very, very, very few. One of the hallmarks that at least some of this is being gaslighted on the bird flu, H5N1. I think when it jumps to humans, it's H5N2. I'm not sure about that. But one of the, when you go search around for avian flu, bird flu, you'll get these glaring headlines about all these deaths. Well, the deaths turn out to be birds, obviously, avian flu. Supposedly, it has jumped species into cattle. And in some cases, humans. Now, we don't know anything. I've been unable to find an actual number. How many humans have actually obtained that virus? And how it has affected people. I find a number of a very low number of people got it some years ago, and a large percentage of them died. But there's nothing in there about the condition of the people. It's devoid of detail. What I am seeing is a lot of, we're not responding fast enough. We know this is bad, and we want to make sure that, this doesn't turn into the next pandemic and blah, blah, blah. Folks, if don't get suckered into, I will almost guarantee you that someone, one of the main, Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, some of the other manufacturers. Now, remember, Johnson & Johnson, their vaccine for COVID was not an mRNA, theirs was actually a vaccine, meaning it was killed or a live virus, mutated live virus. The rest were mRNA shots. And those are not vaccines. I realize that now they've expanded the definition of a vaccine. Those are not. Those are genetic therapy. They don't want to talk in those terms because genetic therapy has a bad connotation. A bad connotation that's well-deserved, by the way. Because we think we understand things very well. We're being gaslighted by scientists who keep telling us we understand these things very well. We fully understand the evolutionary process of the virus. We fully understand the origins and how it's, we don't understand the origins of COVID. We're still fighting over whether COVID was a laboratory experiment gone awry. I think the evidence is piling up, and I've said so all along. This was a bioweapon that got out of hand because despite the denials of the so-called experts, Dr. Fauci being a master gaslighter, he knew full well that they were doing what they call gain-of-function research. And let me tell you, folks, gain-of-function research, in other words, making the virus more powerful and more virulent in a laboratory environment is A, dangerous and stupid, but B, it's a bioweapons. It's a bioweapon research. And how did how did COVID get out? Well, if you remember, the absolutely gaslightiest story you can imagine. It came from bats in a wet kitchen in a marketplace in Wuhan. No, it didn't. No, it did not. It came from workers who got exposed because they weren't using the proper decontamination and quarantine, and they weren't quarantining the virus properly, and it got away, and it got out into the environment, and it did what a modified virus is do. This was a modified virus. Yes, I'm stating it, and you can say that I'm gaslighting you because I don't have absolute proof. Folks, I believe the folks out there who do the work, who aren't not involved in the CDC or the WHO, World Health Organization, or any of these other groups, who do independent research and say, we've never seen sequences in a virus like this except when they're built in a lab. And yes, you can build viruses in a lab. So, what's happening now with H5N1, the avian or bird flu? It's been around now for about 30 years. And every once in a while there is an outbreak. And where does it mostly take place in? It takes place mostly in poultry farms. Why? Because mostly in poultry farms, the animals are all packed together. They're all in close proximity, very often in physical contact. I would have to ask, one of the first questions I know, are free-range chickens getting it at the same rate as corporate chickens? Now, you know, some corporations claim they have free-range. That's fine. I hope they do. But is this an issue for chickens that are free-range? And the real issue now is they're saying it's jumping to cattle. Well, viruses can mutate and jump to other species. And you know what happens every time they jump to another species is there are changes in the virus itself that render it very often less virulent. Every time it jumps a species, it becomes usually less virulent. And as it evolves, because viruses evolve quickly, remember, one of the things we did with the mRNA virus, or the mRNA shots, we forced that virus, the COVID virus, to evolve extremely quickly, which is not a bad thing, because as it evolved, it became less and less virulent, despite what the CDC and the American Institute for Allergy and Infectious Disease Studies, Fauci's group, were trying to tell us, trying to gaslight us, it was getting weaker. Because I had basically all three variants. I had the original, I had the Delta variant, and I had the last one. And as they went along, they got less and less and less and less problematic. So the idea that somehow that we're not being gaslighted on this particular thing, there's a lot of things. Listen, we've talked about inflation. We've talked about medical science. We've talked about different things on gaslighting. Look, learn to recognize when you're being propagandized. Learn to recognize when you're being gaslighted. You know, we've talked about gaslighting in the media, in television shows. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't go to the movies without being gaslighted on something. There's always a political agenda, and there's always propaganda to get you to go, gosh, I can flip this over into something else and see what's going to happen. I can remember when the whole zombie thing was a big thing, and there were people that truly believed that the zombie apocalypse was going to be upon us in no time. They really believed in a coming zombie apocalypse. This is how gaslighting works. Okay, you know what I think. I want to know what you think. www.principledpolicy.com. That's principledpolicy.com. My email address is vicechairman@principledpolicy.com. vicechairman@principledpolicy.com. If you're having trouble getting into the website, I'm trying to get it fixed. But again, try to go there. And if you can't, I'll have it fixed pretty soon. In any case, I would ask you to join me again next week for another Principles and Policies.